The text which serves as the basis for this morning's proclamation from the gospel reading for today, Mark chapter 12. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the text. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this text from Mark chapter 12 isn't as much about giving an offering, as it is about trust. It's about trust. How much trust is required for rich people like us, to give offerings of large amounts of money? How much trust does that require? Offerings which usually come out of our excess income, our extra money, out of our abundance, as Jesus said. And by that I mean that we have paid already for our clothes and groceries and houses and cars and vacations, and we still have money left over. And from that extra money, money we won't even miss, we give an offering. How much trust does that require? To give God an offering for money that you weren't going to need anyway. On the other hand, how much trust is required for a poor widow, someone on the very bottom of the social and economic ladder in Jesus' day, to give her last $2 away? And this is not out of her extra money, this is all of her money, and she puts it all in the offering. What kind of trust in God does that require? Complete trust. Radical trust. Now you and I, we trust in God, of course. We say it, we sing it, we pray it. We say it in one of our favorite Bible verses, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths." And we sing it. We sing about this trust of ours in some of our favorite hymns, such as Hymn 729, "I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only Thee." And we pray about this trust in the Lord's Prayer when we pray, "Thy will be done," and when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." We trust in God. We say it, we sing it, we pray it. But this poor widow, whole different level. She's not just saying it, not just singing it, not just praying it. Actually doing it. She's actually doing it. Her last $2 into the offering, that is trust. Complete trust. Radical trust. On June 30th, 1859, Charles Blondin became the first person to cross Niagara Falls on a tightrope, from Canada to the U.S. and back on a tightrope. The rope was 3 1/4 inches in diameter. It was 1,100 feet across. It was 160 feet above the water. There were guy wires to keep the rope stable, but there was no net, and there was no tether. It was quite the attraction, and thousands of people came to watch. Well, Blondin and his manager, Harry Corland, or Colcord, figured out very quickly that there was money to be made here, And so they scheduled more events throughout that summer, each time drawing larger and larger crowds. They began to add various stunts to the act. Blondin walked the tightrope at one point blindfolded. Another time he put a sack over his head. One time he carried a camera. Not your camera, but an 1859 camera, those ones that are big. He carried that with its stand to the middle of the rope, and he took a picture of the crowd from the rope. One time he crossed on stilts. He did somersaults on the rope. He brought a small wood stove in a wheelbarrow, pushing it in front of him, stopped halfway across, cooked an omelet on the stove, ate it, and then he finished the trip. And the crowd was amazed. But then, of course, as with any gimmick, as you keep going, you got to find something more and more spectacular. You start running out of ideas, and by the end of the summer, they were running out of gimmicks. What new thing could they do on the tightrope in order to keep the crowds coming? They decided to offer $1,000 to any volunteer who would make the crossing with Blondin riding on his back. That's extreme trust. Well, $1,000 was a lot of money in 1859, so there were many volunteers. Blondin and his manager, Colcord. They sorted out which one of these volunteers was too tall and which were too heavy and so forth. Finally, they had a group of finalists, and they lined them up on the edge of the gorge, and Blondin took a 200-pound sack, put it on his back, and he got on the tightrope, and he walked across, and he came back. He showed them all that he could carry this much weight across the rope, and then he asked the finalists, "Do you believe that I can carry you across this gorge and back? Do you believe that I can do this?" And they all said, "Yes. Yes." Then he went to each volunteer, one by one, and he asked, "Will you ride on my back across the gorge?" And they each said, "No way. Not for $1,000, not for $10,000. And they all left. See, there's an important distinction to be made here when it comes to trust. There is theoretical trust, and there is actual trust. There is saying that you trust something, and then there's the actual doing of the trust. Theoretical trust says, "Oh yes, it can be done. Yes, this guy can do it." Actual trust says, "I'll be the one riding on his back while he does it." Actual trust is much more difficult than theoretical. Christian faith is actual trust in God, not just theoretical. When we say that we have faith in God, what we mean is that everything that we have and are and hope to be is in His hands. So, for example, in the Apostles' Creed, we say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." What does this mean? It means God made me, God provides for me, God preserves me, God protects me. It's all Him. It's all Him. My trust is in Him alone. And in the Apostles' Creed, we go on to say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord." What does this mean? It means that Jesus, God's Son, died and rose for me, and in Him I am saved from sin and death and the devil. It's all Him. It's all trust in Him. And then the Apostles' Creed says, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." What does this mean? It means that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel into this Christian faith in Jesus as my Savior, and that on account of that faith, I am counted as holy in God's sight. It's all Him. My trust is in Him. Is there anything in my life or yours that isn't in God's hands? Is there anything I have or you have, whether it be money or possessions or skills or friends or family or hope or forgiveness or salvation, that isn't a gift from God? Is there anything that I get to take credit for that I did apart from God? No. No. It's all from Him. He is the source of all good things. Therefore, my trust is in Him, not just theoretically, but actually, as we live each day to His glory, as we live each day according to the various callings that God has given to each of us, as we live each day loving God by loving our neighbor, as we live each day always in thanksgiving for God's blessings. So what is it like to live in that kind of actual trust in God? Blondin and his manager, Harry Colcord, they had publicized this spectacular show. Someone was supposed to go across the tightrope on Blondin's back, but they had no volunteers. The audience was coming. Sometimes more than 100,000 people would show up. The audience had high expectations. They had to do something. So Blondin said to his manager, "Harry, I guess you're going to have to ride my back across." Harry was terrified. But he did it. He did it. He got on Blondin's back and they headed out over the gorge. And here's where it started to get tricky, because you've never done this and neither have I. But when you're riding on someone's back who is walking on a tightrope, and as Blondin, who's walking on the rope, when the rope sways a bit, Blondin has to lean one way or the other to compensate. And when the person whose back you're riding on, 160 feet of the water, when he starts leaning this way, your reaction is to lean the other way. And so very quickly they began to discover that if they kept this up, the way they're jerking one way and the other, that they were not going to make it. They were not going to make it. So Blondin said to his manager, he said, Harry, until I clear this place, you must become part of me, mind, body, and soul. If I sway, you must rest in me completely and sway completely with me. Do not attempt to do any balancing yourself. If you do, we shall both go down to our death. And Harry did. And they made it across. Jesus says the same thing to us. He says, rest in me. Quit trying to do it yourself. Quit trying to take over. Trust in me. When it comes to forgiveness and salvation and eternal life, don't try to do it yourself. Trust in Jesus. Rest in Him alone. When it comes to life and health and earthly security, don't try to do it yourself. Trust in Jesus. Rest in Him alone. When it comes to possessions and income and material blessings, don't try to do it yourself. Trust in Jesus. Rest in Him alone. Where is it in your life today where you are feeling out of balance? In what ways are you having a hard time trusting Jesus? You are in this particular situation, you are on that line between theoretical trust and actual trust. Theoretical trust says God can heal people. God will take care of us physically. Actual trust is when you get that diagnosis from the doctor. Now what? Where are you right now as you are thinking you need to lean this way because Jesus is leaning too far that way? Don't do it. He's got this. Rest in Him. One of the ways that we live this out, one of the ways that we demonstrate this is when the offering plate comes by and we put in some money. But that's not all. That's not the end of the offering. As the offerings are brought forward, what do? We always stand up as the offerings are brought forward. Why do we stand up when the offerings are brought forward? For many of you, this is a great mystery, just like all the other times when Lutherans stand up or sit down during a worship service. Who knows why we do what we do? Well, actually, there is a purpose for it. And at the offering, we stand up as the offerings are presented because we're saying, we're declaring our actual trust in God. We're saying that everything we have and are belong to God. Not just the money that we put in the plate, but also my life and my livelihood and my home and my family and my knowledge and my skill and my present and my future. It all belongs to Him. So like the widow in the temple and like Harold on Blondin's back, we rest our entire lives in God's hands. We trust completely in Him. And He takes care of us. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.